out. All right. Hello, Corbin. How are you today?
Doing fan-freaking-tastic. What is happening, Shisha?
Oh, just recording podcasts over and over.
Let's do it. Let's
Yes,
add one of the books.
exactly. All right. So we'll get started with the very first question. And it is, what is your biggest dream or aspiration?
My biggest dream or aspiration is to be in a space of freedom for both me and my partner and her kids, including freedom of time, freedom of money, freedom of passion to be able to pursue whatever it is that we want to do, which can change on a day-to-day basis. But in a more specific context, one of the things that right now I've really been passionate about and dreaming of is being able to lead groups of entrepreneurs and executives to reconnect with nature on these extended wilderness excursions. Versions where they really get a chance to get out of the office, get out of their house, get out of their neighborhood, and reconnect with the thing that I think is so primal in all of us, which is nature. And I feel as if we've become so disconnected from it that it's really one of the sources of a lot of our diseases and ailments. And not only I think is it nurturing for the soul, but I also think it's incredible for being able to shift our perspective and think about things in different ways, create new creative solutions to old problems. And that's a big asset for executives and entrepreneurs. And so being able to facilitate that right now is one of my bigger dreams that I'm really kind of focused on and intentional and trying to make happen.
Yeah, are you doing that here in Kansas City, Missouri?
So I live here in Kansas City, but the goal would be to take people out to maybe some more exotic places like Colorado and the Rocky Mountains, New Mexico, and kind of like the high desert down there. Settings like that feel to me really like invigorating and nourishing. I've done my fair share of hunting and camping here in the Midwest, and it is beautiful. I think far underrated. But there's just something about like the Rocky Mountains that just feels to me like just a power in and of itself that doesn't seem like there's any comparison for. So that would be where I would want to do.
Very cool. Well, I'm leaving Thursday for Phoenix, Arizona, and I'm going to go to Sedona, Lake Havasu, and supposedly, I shouldn't say supposedly, it's a fact that there are vortexes. There's like five vortexes in Lake Havasu, and I think around 14 in Sedona. So I will definitely send you information on those too, because I think that would be amazing. I mean, I've heard that one of the worst things ever created was shoes, because we're not connected to the ground anymore. You know, we're not going outside barefoot. And I think we've actually talked about that in one of the other episodes, was like just the power of walking outside immediately in the morning and getting grounded and absorbing that earth's energy. And we just don't do that anymore. We don't take the time.
I think there was I can't remember which philosopher it was, but maybe your artist was, I want to say it was maybe Da Vinci that said that like all ailments of the body start in the foot. And I think that like if you look at some of like the Eastern medicine, there's like five maps to the body, which are your eyes, your tongue, your hands, and your feet. And those four places like hold the map to your entire body in terms
Wow.
of like what's going on, what's under stress, what is overworked, et cetera. And so the feet are definitely, I think, super foundational. And yeah, it's where our body meets the ground. So that contact point, like, being the foundation of how we move and traverse this plane is super crucial. And it wasn't until I broke my leg a number of years ago where I had to really like intentionally rehab my foot, where I started to realize like how important and how nuanced and how like delicate and sensitive a lot of those and strong a lot of those muscles are in the feet. And to your point, yes, I learned really quickly that like how detrimental shoes are. It would be like walking around in an oven mitt all day or with an oven mitt on your hand.
Yeah.
That's like the equivalent of what shoes are to our feet.
Right. Yep. Can't absorb the energy, the amazing nature energy. I love it. All right. You ready for question number two?
Let's do it.
Great. What makes you feel grateful and full of joy today?
What makes me grateful And today, one of the things that is going on as just a general theme in my life and something that I'm feeling experiencing today is this drastic shift between who I was and who I feel like I'm becoming. I really feel like I'm at an apex point where there's just a drastic shift happening. And I can feel it in terms of like the things that are creating stress and disease in my body and in my life. And it really just feels like this massive overhaul that I'm going through. And so this morning when I was journaling and meditating, it really felt like sometimes it feels like a burden, like, oh my gosh, this is so hard. This is so challenging. Why is this so difficult? And then this morning I was like, okay, I really want to shift. I want to really want to shift how I'm looking at this and how I'm viewing this. So that way it's a perspective that gives me excitement and energy rather than dread and drag. And one of those was just what I was mentioning around, like, what a cool opportunity to become something new, become someone different, to become something better, something stronger, something more resilient. Like, it's a cool opportunity. And like I said, it is challenging and it's beautiful. And so that is what I'm grateful for and that brings me joy today.
Yeah, so almost like a death and a rebirth, right? Of
Very
you
much
becoming.
so.
That happened to me last summer and it was rough. It was really rough. And I remember just, I mean, we operate best in our uncomfortable zone anyways, but when you're like, when you are the more uncomfortable you are, the more growing you're doing at the moment. It is, it's super interesting. And it's so great. It's so amazing to me that you're grateful for that right now because you're in the thick of it and it's super hard. But if you're more grateful for it, maybe it'll kind of like come to fruition a little bit faster and get that definition of who you're becoming, right? Because that's what you're trying to figure out right now. Am I correct? Yeah.
There's an ease to it too. Like, change can occur through like drastic confrontational effort, and change can also come through ease. I think a lot of it depends on like our beliefs and our perspectives and the way that we're approaching it. But yes, it is undoubtedly challenging, and it's very much like a death and rebirth. And I think that we're dying all the time. Like, our cells are dying all the time. I think every 7 years, we have literally every cell in our body has died and regenerated. So every 7 years, we have a completely new body, new cells. And so, yeah, it's one of those just like everything all the time, all at once kind of deals, and just trying to kind of hang on and keep like the vision clear in terms of like where it is that I want to go. So I think that that's something else that can get lost in these challenging times, because we get so caught up and focused on the challenge and the difficulty that we forget like where it is we're trying to go. And when we have that destination in point, it makes it a lot easier, I think, to withstand and weather all the challenges and difficulties.
Right. Yeah, I think like along the lines of almost the neurolinguistic programming stuff, it's like you end up with like your neurons are reforming as well. So if somebody's on the path that you're on right now, right? Like I feel like I'm in this middle of this rebirth. I'm not exactly sure what it all means yet. And a lot of times what people will do is go and they'll go right back to the way they were before, and then they'll end up on that vicious loop of, okay, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? I want to become this person, but I'm not getting off the loop and making new choices. And that's the thing too, like whenever you're in that moment, I mean, are you doing certain things so that way you stay on track? Besides the meditation and the journaling, of course. I mean, that's such a huge piece of it. And breath work, it sounds like.
Yeah, big on breath. And you know what? These are things that, like, even though I do them, I'm not perfect at them. Like, I don't even know what perfect looks like in terms of like journaling and breath work or meditation, but like, I'm not gonna sit here and try to pretend as if like I'm some kind of stoic monk where like every morning as soon as the alarm goes off at 6 a.m. like I'm in, Ohms. But I do think that that's really important. I think one of the things that I think part of one of the most challenging parts of these processes is almost like everything that we thought we knew becomes like changes and shifts. So for me, like movement and working out has always come very easily. It's not something that I've had to schedule in. It's not something that I've had to like drag myself into the gym for. It was just like a innate passion and desire that I was pulled towards. And right now, surprisingly, it feels like it's something that I'm having to push myself into, which is really weird for me. And so that's one of the things again where it's like what's happening right now? Who am I? But I would say that movement is another big one. So you got, meditation and journaling and breath work, both practices that can be done in somewhat stillness. But man, movement to me is such a medicine in terms of like being able to move energy through the body, being able to engage with different parts of our body, being able to feel like our strength and our mechanics and how to use applied leverage. It's so crucial on so many different levels. Like that's one of the other ones that I think is huge, besides the ones that you mentioned.
I would definitely agree with movement. And I think in the wintertime, it's a little harder for me, especially. I'm like, I become a little bit of a homebody in the winter. And I will tell you that going to Hotworks, where it's 130 degrees, where I can work out, that is my saving grace because my feet actually are warm for one time during the winter. Every single time I go there, I know my hands and my feet are going to be warm. So I love it. And I definitely agree with you. Movement. I mean, our bodies are not meant to just sit here, and they're not going to feel good when we're old if we do just sit here, and our brains won't either.
I think that we're the amount of stagnancy that we have in our lifestyles right now, or sedentary, is really staggering. And I don't think that people recognize how impactful that is on our physiology and our well-being. I mean, when I think of, I mean, just everything is right here at our fingertips. Even if we were to, drive to work, like we're still sitting in a car. We don't have to go fetch water from a stream. We don't have to go hunt for food. We don't have to go pick berries. Like our lifestyle has changed so much in that aspect that I don't even think we're able to comprehend like how much of an impact it has on us.
Yeah, that would be a really interesting like retreat idea, is to do some sort of like where you just live off the land for an entire week and don't sit, you don't sit at a computer, you don't even have a phone. That would be kind of amazing in and of itself. So,
Totally. And that's going back to my dream for those wilderness retreats. Like that's really what like I have in mind. I mean, I think that there's a balance. I think that like even as I talk about those things, I also think that at the same time, while we're more stagnant than ever, we're also more busy than ever. Like I think that if you look at like the evolution of humans, I think that they lived in ways in which there were short bursts of energy, like to again to go get water, to go hunt food, to go pick berries. And then I also think there was a lot of sitting around. Like I think there was a lot of hanging out and lounging around the fire and sitting by the stream. And that's also something that I feel like we don't have quite as much anymore. I mean, I think that, I mean, I guess we sit and watch TV, but to me it's still not the same thing. Like it's not, it doesn't have the same level of connection with other people. It doesn't have the same other connection with the environment and with the land and with nature. And I think it's very different states of mind, those two things. And so, yeah, my goal with going back to those wilderness retreats is getting people outside, getting people moving, walking, hiking, and also getting people to just hang out, just sit around a fire. Like, hey, I'll cook all the food. Everything's prepared. Everything's taken care of. Just hang out and be, which I think for a lot of, again, a lot of high performance entrepreneurs and executives, that is almost harder than working is a
Oh
lot of times.
it's quiet your mind. It's like almost
Wait,
impossible.
you're telling me I gotta sit here by myself and just sit
Right.
with my thoughts and feelings? That sounds terrifying. Yeah, no, it's a real thing. And so, and if the obstacle is the way, then it's like if that's the thing that's hard for them, then that's the thing that is most important and valuable for them to do possibly.
Definitely agree. Get them out of that comfort zone, right? Yes. All right. You ready for the next question?
Bring it.
All right. What are the most significant lessons you've learned throughout your life, and how have they shaped you as a person?
Most significant lessons through life and how they've shaped me. So, one of the biggest lessons that I've learned is the power of curiosity, which I think ties in really closely with self-awareness. But the power of curiosity, I think, is really understated and undervalued. And I think that curiosity is the foundation for gaining self-awareness through asking questions like, hey, what is it that I'm doing right now? And what's the motivation behind it? For what purpose am I doing this? You know, what's driving me to do this? How am I showing up
A good one.
in life and relationships? Yeah. And these questions are really the key to expanding our self-awareness. And I think that it not only applies to learning about ourselves, but learning about anything. If it's a hobby, if it's a job, if it's a task, if it's a relationship, like the power of asking questions and getting curious, I think is incredible. And I think that it's led in the ways that it's impacted my life. Again, I already mentioned the self-awareness. I feel as if it's been crucial for growing my awareness of myself, but then also of other people around me, like asking questions. I just think that it's such a powerful connector. And I think it's one of the most like foundational skills where if you can get comfortable asking questions, and then on top of that, being able to develop the skill of asking the right questions or the questions that move the needle for you, man, that's a powerful skill that could take anybody anywhere.
Yeah, and I really try because I have a 6-year-old son, and I really try. He asks me probably 1,000 questions a day, and I try my best not to like turn him away whenever he's asking me questions because I know it's just going to make him smarter. But for all the parents out there, it's like, please at least answer their questions. You know, don't ever act like a question is stupid. And, not that I'm like that every single time, because there are definitely times where I'm busy trying to cook dinner or do something. And I'm like, okay, just you gotta ask me that later, right? But we know how it is as adults, you forget. And so, just answer their questions, I guess is my point. Because as an adult, you want to be asking those questions. Who am I showing up as? Who do I want to show up as? It creates amazing emotional intelligence and self-awareness. Totally agree.
I'd even add on top of that, while it's important to answer the questions as best as possible, I also think that being as honest as possible is equally as important. And that includes saying when you don't know something. Like if your kid asks you a question, it's like, dang, buddy, I don't really know, but tell you what, why don't we go find out together? Or hey, I don't know the answer to that, but I fully support you trying to look it up and find it out. And when you do, come back and let me know what you find. I think that that again really instigates and promotes that kind of curiosity as well as the honesty. Because I think that kids, whether we realize it or not, consciously, unconsciously, know when we're just lying or giving them something just to get them out of our hair. And it is a delicate balance because, yeah, sometimes like parents are tired and they're worn out and they don't have the energy to engage in a super esoteric conversation about, where birds come from or how birds fly. And I do think there's a balance of like, hey, man, mama's really worn out from a long day at work. I'm really proud of you for your curiosity and asking these questions. And I would really love to explore this at a later time when I have more energy to be more present and engaged with you. How does that sound?
I can't
Yeah,
even
I
imagine.
think.
My son would look at me like, huh?
Yeah. What do you mean you all out of energy? It's 6 o'clock. I got all kinds of energy. Let's go. Yeah, it's tough, man. My partner has two kids from a previous marriage, and they're 10 and 12-year-old girls. And the amount of things that I'm learning about myself and about life through, I don't want to say the word parenting, another parent, but from supporting them has been wild. And so I think that those are probably the two biggest things, or I think three of the biggest things that will expose all of our beliefs and our shit, for lack of a better word, is being in a romantic relationship, having kids, and starting a business. I think those three things are like the three, like the trifecta of exposing all of your shit.
Oh yeah, all the
It will
limiting
get,
beliefs.
oh yeah, it'll get displayed right out in front of you, right in your face, and you'll get smacked upside the head if you're not paying attention. But yeah, man, those three things are like hell of an undertaking.
Yeah, and you're gonna get smacked upside the head even if you are paying attention. Like that's just,
Yeah.
yes, I would totally agree. Those are three of the hardest things I've ever experienced in my entire life. So yeah,
Heard.
absolutely.
Agreed.
Yep.
What you got next?
All right. What inspires
Actually, hold
you?
wait. Actually, do you mind if I pause? Can you hear my dog walking around? Is it super loud?
No.
You can't? Okay.
I don't think
That's
so.
one of that's one of the things that I've had issues with these headphones. They pick up like all the ambient sound, and I got this dog who's just wandered around the kitchen. I'm wondering if his feet on the floor are making a bunch of noise.
Don't think so.
Okay, but if you can't hear it, then we're good. Okay, apologies. We'll
All
head
right,
back.
you're okay.
Is that too hard to edit out?
I'm not doing the editing. They'll do it.
Oh,
It's
really? Oh,
fine.
cool. Okay, sweet. All right,
Yep.
let's do it. Back
All
at
right.
it.
So, what inspires you and motivates you to keep going even when faced with challenges?
What inspires and motivates me, even in the face of challenges? That's honestly one of the things that I'm redeveloping right now for myself. Like in this period of change, is finding that why, finding what it is that's motivated me. Because I think that, so I'm not big into astrology, but based on what I heard and what I understand, in the midst of my Saturn's return, which is like a huge upheaval of, oneself, and it's a big kind of
Shift.
defining shift, in most people, in many people's lives. And so I think that for anyone on any kind of journey that's meaningful of any kind of sort, again, whether it's starting a business, whether it's parenting, whether it's anytime you're pursuing a dream or a passion, I think that there's this apex point to where we're actually being motivated by fears, insecurities, trauma, compensation strategies, and other things of the sort, which I equate to like somewhat of a dirty fuel source. To me, it feels like burning coal. It's like it gets the job done, but there's
Fire
a
under your
cost
feet.
to it. But
Yep.
there's a cost to it. And I think that to really get where we really want to go, there has to be some kind of switch to where we hit that apex point and we actually change the fuel source that we're using to drive ourselves. And it's just from coal to electricity in the form of being driven by fears, insecurities, limiting beliefs, compensation strategies, to love, passion, desire, yeah, desires, wants, dreams. And to me, it's like the difference between moving away from and moving towards. Does that make sense?
And would you agree
Cool.
it's like you could be like operating out of the fears and all of that, and then you're operating out of love and passion, and then it turns into a circle and you're doing this again. And then you're doing this again, and then you're doing that again. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I've never really thought about it that way. So, that's great insight.
Yeah, I definitely don't think it's a linear process. I think probably, like you said, it's very cyclical, and so it will have its seasons, and and then even within those seasons, there'll be days where, I'm running on electricity, and days where I'm running on coal. It definitely oscillates, but I do think that there are very stark points of momentous. There are very stark points where there's like a drastic shift. And so, as I said, right now it feels like I'm in one of those shifts. And so redefining and choosing a different fuel source to move me, I think is one of the big things that I'm undertaking right now. And so that's honestly a to be determined answer, but it's definitely on my mind.
Have you ever done the exercise where you go like seven levels deep to figure out what your why is? It's pretty cool.
There's different, I think I might know what you're talking about, but walk me through it. Take me through your version of it.
Well, that would take a really long time.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yes.
What's
But it is
the
basically
brief
like you just
synopsis?
you start out, right? You start out with your what is your why? Why do you want to be doing this, right? And then you just dive a little bit deeper and why do you want to be doing that? Right. And then you dive a little bit deeper. What makes you want to do this? And you just keep going and keep going and keep asking the questions. And that's one of those things where like breath work really helps, even if you're doing it yourself, you know, really breathing through it and opening the mind. And whatever comes first is what you write down. And then that's why about level four or five, you end up in this place of emotions. And like what my why is to make generational change with my kids so they don't ever have to go through the things that I went through as a child. You know, whether it be money situations or just life situations, definitely relationship situations. You know, a lot of kids nowadays or and forever didn't see healthy relationships to be able to create their own eventually anyways. And so I think that, I mean, that is definitely my why, but it took to get to level seven to get down to the nitty-gritty of why I actually do what I do. Because I started out with me up here, right? Of why I'm doing this. And then it ended up getting a little bit deeper. And I mean, tears were flowing by level four or five. So, but
That's
it's a
cool.
really good exercise to go through.
I appreciate that. I like that a lot. I'm gonna try that out later on, 'cause I know that that's also like one of the, I believe it's an NLP technique as well, as you know, like, well, for what purpose do you want this, or you know, for what purpose. And I do think that there are levels and layers to it, and that's where I feel like the curiosity is so important. It's like the thing that's on the surface that's
Probably
presenting
not.
itself, that's for all to see, you know, that's easy and right in front of you. Like, I'm not saying that it's not true. I think it is, and I think that there are more levels and layers underneath it that hit a little bit closer to the origin point. So
Well, and they
I like that a
stick with
lot.
you longer. When it's deeper, it sticks with you longer.
For
And
sure.
then, you know, having a note somewhere of what your why is, right? Like that'll keep you going for sure.
Definitely. So that's one of the things that I'm currently in the process of like redefining. And again, sometimes it feels challenging because it's like, oh man, why am I doing this? Like, I do not have the energy or motivation for this. And the beautiful, you know, reflection of that though is that it's okay, cool. Like, I got the opportunity to really understand and define like what it's going to take to move me into action. And one of the, actually was just talking about this with someone the other day, but one of the cooler definitions that I've heard for God is that your God is whatever moves you to action. And so for some people it's money, for some people it's notoriety, for some people it's, you know, image and reputation, and for other people it's, hey, there's a purpose of in terms of the impact I'm trying to make here. And whatever it is that moves you to action, that's your God. Kids, sometimes I think that's another weird one when it comes to parenting, is when you see like the helicopter lawnmower parents. Like, in a way, when the only thing that moves them to action is their kids, it's like they're almost deifying their kids, which I'm not saying it's necessarily good or bad, but I do think that there are points to where it becomes potentially dysfunctional. So yeah, anyway, so to your point, what moves you to action, it ends up a lot of, in that definition, that thing that moves you to action can become your God.
Be careful, right? Careful
Yeah,
what it is.
exactly. Yeah, exactly. Be careful what you're deifying.
All right, so the next question, I'm going to give you two options of how you want to answer it. So the question is, the first question, what do you hope to leave behind in the world as your legacy? But what I really, really want to know behind that question is what do you want people to say about Corbin at your funeral?
So largely, I think that the notion of a legacy is I think sometimes futile. I think there's a lot of times there's this desire to like be remembered. But for the most part, like even some of the greatest, most fantastic, like loving, kind, entertaining, funny, talented people are quickly forgotten. Like I think I saw someone say the other day, like Betty White died last year, I think around this time. It's not like on anybody's mind. Like people aren't waking up and like, man, I just wish Betty White was still here. And she was an incredible woman, incredible change maker, incredible person. And you know, there's maybe a day where it's like, oh, bummer. But then after that, people move on. So in some sense, I feel like the legacy thing can sometimes get overplayed. And when it comes to what I want to be remembered for, like, so the legacy to me is like how long people remember us for. But what people remember us for is, I think, where my attention goes. And I just want to be thought of as someone who was kind, someone who cared, as someone who tried, and someone that did what they could to make their life better, along with the lives of the people around them better. To me, that feels like the epitome of what I could want.
Very nice. Yeah. And doing that through like the wilderness retreats, like you were talking about, of course, right? So, like,
And that's
just doing
where
all those
things start
things.
to, yeah, and that's where things, and I think that too, that's you know, going back to purpose too, it's like, well, I'm again in this redefining process. So I'm redefining a lot of these things that I used to just kind of like take at face value. And when I think about like life purpose, I think that sometimes that can be another one similar to legacy, where people get really caught up in like what's my life purpose? And I think that it changes from moment to moment. Like right now I've got this cacao turmeric latte that was given to me as a Christmas gift. And like in some sense it feels like when I drink this, my life's purpose is to enjoy this as much as possible. And when I'm on a walk, it's like my life's purpose in that moment is to enjoy my walk as much as I can. And then, you know, there's things like the wilderness retreats where it's like, okay, now my purpose is really around supporting people and creating more of like a, I guess we consider like a traditional purpose. But I think it changes from moment to moment, day to day. And so, yeah, that's another thing that I've been redefining. So, I don't know if this is tracking or not, but there's a couple different things that kind of tie into one another that has been contemplating as I'm talking.
Yeah. So, though, that's the whole point of this conversation, right? Curiosity. So, have you
Yeah, there you
ever
go.
read any of Matthew Kelly's books?
I don't believe so.
Yeah. So, he has a book called The 7 Levels of Intimacy, and it is the most amazing relationship book I've ever read in my life. Ever. Yes.
Okay, so seven. So one of my friends and mentors has what he calls the roadmap to intimacy, and I don't know where he got it from, but I'm gonna share with you the I don't even know if it's seven, but I'll go through this progression and tell me if it's the same as Matthew Kelly's. So the roadmap to intimacy that my friend has shared with me is tolerance, acceptance, safety, vulnerability, connection, and intimacy.
Interesting.
So I
That's
guess
not
that's six, but
yeah. That's not exactly the same.
okay.
They're definitely different than that. But I wasn't, the whole point of me saying that was more about like your purpose. So what Matthew Kelly says in the book, which I would recommend it for many, many reasons, especially reading it with your partner would be, oh my gosh, just amazing. I've done that and it is phenomenal. So, but what he says is that your purpose is just to be the best version of yourself. So that makes it a little bit easier to say, okay, well, right now it's this latte, right? Or, and then tomorrow it's going to be this walk. to, you know, the next day it's going to be reading a book or whatever it is. And it's like, if you just operate out of the fact of just being the best version of yourself in every decision you make every day, okay, is this going to be make me better? And your partner, right? Is this going to make them better? I'm going to support them in this if it is. So I think that kind of loosens up the whole idea of figuring out exactly what your purpose is and not having to define it like to a T in one sentence. And it's like that is the sentence, right? It's I'm got to be the best version of myself. That's my purpose. And whatever I do on that path is my purpose. It's like living out your purpose. So it's a great, great book for many reasons.
I do like that a lot. I think it what we're speaking to is diversifying. So the idea that like our life purpose is supposed to be singular and unwavering, I think being able to diversify that to be any number of purpose, any yeah, number of purposes at any moment, like you said. The one thing I will add on top of that that I think again in the self-help personal development space, I think can sometimes get like left out is that, and this also ties into the fuel source thing, the being a better version of myself. There's a stark contrast between trying to be a better version of myself because I'm not enough as I am, and a stark and contrasted with what's the best version of myself because I want to see what's possible out of like love and desire and curiosity and enthusiasm. Those two things I think are a big shift when it comes to like the personal development path, because a lot of times like we can be striving to be better, to be more, to be whatever it is, but it's still kind of coming out of that
Lack.
shame space. Yeah, that shame space of like I'm not enough, I'm wrong, bad, broken, not enough, or too much as I am. And so that's again I think another one of those like very distinct turning points for anyone that's on any kind of journey to be their most realized, fullest, freest self, is that switch from like shame to acceptance.
Yeah, I think it's yes, I would definitely agree because you're either operating out of lack or you're operating just out of desire to be better. And I think the desire to be better is just out of love and passion and all that. It is. It's like what you said with the whole fuel source, it's one or the other. And I think that if you stay in this like this lack place, then you're never going to allow things to come into you anyways. And I think that people in the personal development, it is, it's just a little bit deeper of a subject, right? About you being the creator of your life. I believe in God and I believe he created us, but I also believe that he gave us the tools that we get to make our own choices, do the action steps to get closer to who we want to become. And there's nothing wrong with becoming a new person. There is no, I mean, people think, oh, well, you know, why would you want to become someone new? Well, I do. I want to get off this roller coaster or this like hamster wheel of life and just like whoosh, skyrocket into who I want to be. And whatever, you know, whoever's definition of that, it's your definition, right? Of exactly who you want to be. And you get to make that decision. So, but it is, it's a much deeper conversation. And a lot of people stay on that like surface level of personal development. And we know what we're talking about is much deeper than that.
It's like I think I've coined it self-development syndrome, where it's like in the process and the pursuit of being this better version of ourselves, we're actually ingraining the very patterns of trauma and scarcity and shame that like we're trying to heal and grow from. So it's a yes, it's a vicious cycle, but I do think that again, they have very distinct differences in how it feels when we're moving out of lack and out of scarcity and out of shame versus love and abundance and acceptance and desire. It's a again, it's like coal and electricity, very, very different energetic signatures.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so the last question that I have is, what is one action you take every day to get you closer to your dreams?
That's the thing. I wish I could say that I do something that I'm so consistent that I do something every day. I mean, I have a journal, I have a planner. I think I'd be lying if I said there's something that I do every single day over and over again. But I would say that it's really an amalgamation of various tools. It's a combination of breath work, meditating, journaling, of dreaming. I like to take
Vision.
time, and just dream. Just like, what do I want? What do I see for myself? What do I want my day to look like? What do I want myself to look like as I'm moving through my day? That's probably actually, I guess technically, if there was something I do every day, it's that imagination. The imagination, it happens every day, no matter what. And it's not something that I schedule time for. It's like at 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to start dreaming. It's just something that happens innately. I think that that's one of the things that make human consciousness unique, is our ability to dream and think about the future and what we want it to look like. And so I think that, which ties in very well with your emphasis on dream coaching. But yeah, that's honestly the thing that I probably do the most consistently every day to progress forward.
And I think that for me, the dreaming is probably one of the most powerful things you can do, which it can be during meditation, it can be during journaling, it can be during breath work, all of those things. And the getting sitting with the feeling that you want to feel, right? You had mentioned freedom at the very beginning of this. And the last podcast we recorded actually was all about freedom. And it's like, I feel like every person wants freedom and whatever that means to you again, right? It's just defining it how you want it. And I think that I would sit, this is something I probably really haven't said out loud, especially not to this many people, but I sat in my meditation chair and I was single for about 3 years. And I sat in my meditation chair a lot. And I dreamt about what it would be like to be with my person and be just sit in that love and that just knowing no matter what I was doing, if it's in the mountains, reading a book and like sitting by the fire with this person, right? And just having this passionate feeling, this intimate feeling, I would wake up from meditation in tears. And it was just amazing to me what that brings forth, right? Whenever things manifest into your life, again, we are the creators of our life. So if you can sit in creation, in that imagination, in that dream mode, and every single day, that is the most powerful thing you could ever possibly do because eventually it'll just come to fruition the more you do it. So yes, I'm very, very passionate about dreaming, imagining, envisioning, all the things that have to do with that.
And I think that there's such an importance, because is dreaming the only thing that's going to get us to where we want to go and to manifesting what it is that we're dreaming about? Absolutely not. There's all kinds of action and other steps that need to take place. And I don't think you can have it without, I don't think you can manifest anything meaningful without having some kind of imagination or dream for it. And I think that, again, going back to that contrast between fuel sources and moving away from something or being pulled towards something. When there's a dream and a vision in place, I think it makes it a lot easier to get pulled towards something, because you're creating something that is in alignment and out of desire with you that I think will innately pull you. And so having that, I think, is one of the first steps to help initiate that change from, moving away from and burning like dirty coal to clean burning electricity and being pulled towards something that you're passionate about and that like lights your soul on fire. So dreaming, I think, is definitely, I would say, the first most primary foundational component to that. So yeah, that's awesome. Boy, what a beautiful tie-in. We couldn't even plan that any better. Damn. Written like a script.
Well, I mean, it's what it boils down to, right? What are we dreaming about?
Yeah.
What do we want? I mean, that's you have to know what you want. You have to know what you don't want so you can get away from this and become this. So it really is. You have to envision it. And I absolutely love that you said that that's like the one thing you do every day because we all do. Even if it's just daydreaming just a little bit for a split second or for 5 minutes, it's listening to a really great song. You're still getting a feeling, right? So, yep.
Definitely.
So, is
I'm
there
with you.
anything else that you want to add to our conversation before we end it?
anything else? I think I just love to say that forever for whoever's listening, like, you are fucking powerful. You are limitless and you are capable, and I believe in you. And I know that life can be hard sometimes, and it can be challenging, and it can be, so tough to where it's like we lead ourselves to ask, like, do I even want to do this anymore? I've definitely been there. And for what it's worth, whatever, wherever you are and whatever you're going through, like, just keep going. Just keep going. I believe in you. I love you. And I wish the best for you.
Yes, that's amazing. And another really cool thing that would be a really great challenge for all of our listeners is to look at themselves in the mirror and say that.
Oh man.
Right? It's
Look in the
super.
mirror. Totally. Look into the eyes of a partner. Man, looking into people's eyes is something that I've really been fascinated by the last few years. There was an experience that I had where it kind of clued me in how important it is to really look people in the eye. And I actually remember distinctly the first time I ever felt like someone really looked me in the eye, like really, really looked me in the eye. And it's powerful. And I think that if someone does have a partner of any kind, like, look into their eyes and say the same thing and have them repeat it back to you. Or the mirror, like, it all works. But yeah, making contact with the eyes, like the windows to the soul, crucial, amplifies everything.
Absolutely. That's even another addition. So thank you for that.
Oh, cool.
I definitely agree. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. We had a lot of valuable topics discussed, and I am super excited to see where you're going, where you're headed, what your why is. We'll definitely have to keep talking about that.
You bet. Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me. I appreciate you asking these questions and bringing your curiosity to the table. It's been a real treat and I've loved it. So thank you, Trisha.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.